Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Ike Live. Hope you're having a wonderful Sunday.
I know we are.
Got a great show going on tonight. Man, it's really been fun. It's nice having a full house tonight. Of course, Pete and Paul sitting to my right and left. And we've got Bailey fresh off a nice win tonight.
Peter, Paul, and Bailey?
Peter, Paul, and Bailey. Yes.
That gets a prize.
Yes, it does get
Jake
a prize.
And Bailey have no idea what that joke is.
No.
PBP.
But it's been a great show. Let me remind you, if you're watching, we want you to like and share the Facebook feed. If you're watching over there, if you do that, you're going to be entering a chance to win the world-famous Ike Live gift bag. Also, if you've got a comment or a question or anything about what you're hearing or seeing tonight, please send it in. Jake will put it through. At least the good ones he'll put through. Brian, this has been a good show, but
yes.
I am very, very excited. But before we even get to that, Paul, did you – I saw you looking at your phone.
Yeah.
Normally everybody's taking a piss break, but you were looking at your phone. You got something
looking
you want to
my
say
phone
real quick?
And,
what happened over there? Something happened?
Yeah, I think there's this little bait company. I use a lot of their products, like Berkley Power Worms. Yeah, Berkley.
Well, your
I
name
noticed,
is Power Bait Paul.
It is.
Of
it
course.
Is. Yeah. I've earned that.
Yeah.
And Berkley started following me.
Berkley called you! Oh, God.
Finally!
Look at that. Yeah. The power of Ike Live.
The power of Ike Live compels you.
The power of Ike Live compels you. Hold on. Let me open the four giants. Spray that all over the place. Also, Brian, was nice that we were drinking the all-day, all-day chill day up to now, but we made a little switch,
and
this is a really good one, too. This is the Four Giants Haze. Brian, this is a good one. You want to talk about this one? This is pretty phenomenal.
I like it.
You like it a lot. Okay. Another Founders beer. Once again.
Do you like it?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I feel like a lot of people watch this from different parts of the country, different parts of the world. They watch these shows after the live, and they're like, God, these guys love Founders. But you can find them through the app, right, Brian?
That's right.
Founders app, you put in your zip code, you can find out where they sell them. That's correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so if you're watching, go to founders.com, put the Founders app in your phone, you can find out where to get them.
That's correct,
Four Giants is good.
That is also
correct.
All right,
so, dude, this is the meat. I'm very excited about this next guest. Because this has really, we mentioned earlier, but it's taken the last few days by storm. It's felt like overwhelming. I can't get away from it. And I think the reason is because people are outraged. People are outraged by the fact,
that's a fact,
that something they love to do, which is tournament fish. I don't care if it's, you know, think about that term, tournament fish. Bass, walleye, crappie, even saltwater guys. I mean, I've watched the thing blow up. Guys are outraged that the fact that something they love to do, something they're passionate about, somebody would have that malice, right?
It was satisfying to see them getting busted.
And it was satisfying.
And that's what I think everybody got a sense of satisfaction. Plus, there's video.
Let's
just be real. Like, when there's video, that just...
Right, Bailey? In today's age, right?
Video rules.
Proof is everything.
If you have proof.
Because think about this. Like, all the other, egregious, busts, where people got caught.
Yeah.
It was like rumor.
Yeah. Rumors,
conjecture,
right? The rumor,
like
mill.
We heard, or
right?
We think this happened,
right?
But this dude, they performed an autopsy
right there,
right in front of the.
My man performed the autopsy and then threw him out like an umpire.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
right there in front of us.
Right, but here's the thing. So all this build up and energy, but I mentioned it earlier. Up to this point, it's all like second, third, fourth hand, right?
Yeah.
We're seeing something come through social media, and we really don't know.
Yeah.
So this is exciting, and I'm so
happy. We got weights in their bellies. We got weights in the fish.
Right. And I think like personally, I want to know. We want to know. I think the world wants to know. I'm so excited to have this next guest on. And I haven't met him yet, but I'm excited to have him on the show to tell the real story. I want to hear what's happened. So joining us now, Brian, I think
Jason
we got
Fisher,
it.
Yep.
Jason Fisher. And by the way, hats off to Brian the Carpenter for
– And Jake.
Yeah, and Jake for making this happen because
– Jake found the number real quick.
Thank you, Jake, because this is current, so thank you. Joining us right now, we got Jason Fisher joining us, who is the tournament director of the circuit where it happened. Jason, yes.
Hold on a second. Let me do that. Go ahead.
Okay. Jason, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you for joining us on the show. Sorry we got to you so late. This show is always late on everything we do. First of all, you know, a lot of our viewers and listeners, by, you know, they're watching live right now, or they're going to get to this in a day or two or a week from now. Some might not know, but let's do an overview really quick. Big tournament, championship in the walleye world, big event, prestigious event, a big deal in the walleye world, and something happened. Something went down that's not right. It breaks everything. It breaks the code of why we fish. Give us the overview of what happened, how this went down. Pete, you made a good point. How did you find out this happened? Give us a little background on what went down.
Well, basically, it's our championship. We're here on Erie. We fish from March till now. Last year, we went into November. We just wanted to try to save a little bit of weather, so we shortened the season up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was all boiling down to literally the last person to weigh in before this exploded, man. I mean, the whole season boiled down to this. We have not only the championship tournament, we've got the team race, we've got a cumulative season long. We do a 5-fish bag, so all the big fish these guys weigh in on the year, we'll do a cumulative score. You know, just all of this hype for the whole year boiled down into this very last team to weigh in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we did it that way on purpose. These guys were the leaders for the team race. They've been consistent. They win a lot. And, you know, we may know why now, or at least we know why they intended on winning this one. And we set it up to bring them up last. And, oh, boy. Well, the world is flipped upside down now, man.
Autopsy.
I heard you say autopsy. There was nothing surgical about it, but I got them weights out of that damn fish. So, yeah, I'm here. I look like you were going to say something.
Yeah, no, we lost you just for a second, but I was going to say, as you were talking, I was in my mind imagining, I think in every tournament world, we know that scenario, right? The Bassmaster Classic, or, you know, a championship event where it's the build-up. And it's, dude, everything's on the line here because it's the biggest thing of the year. I felt, as you were talking, I felt it. And, you know, normally when you have that kind of event, and it's a great thing, too, because Bass does it all the time. Bailey, you know, Bass will purposely hold back the winners or who they think is going to do well,
or
right?
Will contend.
Will contend to build drama, build excitement. Mm-hmm. That's a normal thing in the sport. But what's not normal is what happened next. And I think, you know, for me, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Pete, how'd
you guys figure out that there was a problem?
Jason, how did it get to the point where here's a team that was competitive all year, they've had another great event, yes, you know, guys get in the zone, guys get in the rhythm, to, wait a minute, is this
legit?
Is this legit? Is something shady? How did that happen?
So it's been an up and down roller coaster all year long with these guys. You know, when guys have success, you just naturally have other guys complaining about them, whether it's, you know, oh, hey, I don't think that fish was legit, or these guys are doing, you know, better than we think they should be doing. And we have
– yeah.
Yeah, people run, you know, polygraph tests and BSA tests, and hell, the last event we even had camera guys. We were running the first three team of the year guys camera boats. You know, we're a small scale, so that type of thing is expensive for us. But I wanted to document what these guys were doing, and I'm not meaning these guys. I'm meaning our anglers,
right?
You know, and this team just so happened to be part of that because they were in the lead, and they pulled out a win with a camera person on their boat. Now, I don't know if they did something dishonest, you know, with that. But like you know, I heard you talking earlier, you know, these guys have, you know, not this team, but you mentioned a bass angler that had a hidden compartment in his boat, you know, and these they may be able to do, you know, if they're stuffing weights and fish, I don't know. But he did it with a camera person on his boat. So that restored all my, you know, confidence in him. I'm like, right, these guys are the best. You know, right. I praised them. I was jacked up because finally, to me, I was like, we put it to bed. I'm like, these dudes are doing it legit. They did it with my guy on the boat. You know,
right.
I was happy for him.
Right.
I was the first one to call him. You know, and I'm like, hey, man, I'm proud of you guys. You know, I know it's been a rough year. You know, guys giving you a hard time. I said, but you did it. You know, it's over now. And that's what I said to him. You know, and then that brings us to this event. And, you know, here we are. It's our championship. They're in the lead. And, you know, and they went in confident. You know, they said, we're going to, you know, we intend on winning. And I'm just like, yeah, well, do me a favor and don't. So everybody, you know, has a good time today, because, you know, when you have that much success, it ultimately,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
Because everybody works hard. It's not just one team that works hard. You know?
Yeah, that was pretty much my entire career fishing with Kevin Van Dam. So I understand that. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the purse today, Jason?
What's that?
What was the purse today? What was first place?
So first place was $8,000 just strictly for the tournament, you know, and there's a lot of extras on top of that that they could have won. So had that team won, I would have been like $28,760 for them.
That's a good payday.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a good purse. Yeah, nice payday.
Well, considering our series, I mean, they enter these events. This event was a $400 entry with an additional options for $120. So that $420 to take home that much money is pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah, that's really good. So I still want to, Jason, tell us the buildup so I can see it. So, you know, a success a lot of time breeds hatred. Sometimes, you know, yeah,
misplaced.
Sometimes not. And we're at the championship event. They had a camera in the boat, had success in that event. So I can see where it's like, thank God, you know, all these are just rumors.
Yeah.
And then we get to this event. I'm still curious. What was the
smoking gun?
Yes.
So here it is. And I, you know, I'd like to take all the credit, but I can't. It's the guys, it's the anglers. So when I held these guys off till the end, I had a couple teams in the race, and our second place team of the year weighed in. They had 22 pounds approximately. And this is a down day for Lake Erie. First of all, like, the weather's flipped. We've had a lot of north winds. The fish just weren't biting. I mean, our temperature dropped about 15 degrees. I mean, they were struggling. So yeah. I had a lot of teams zero. Good anglers are zeroing. And I went, you know, our second place team of the year, they weigh in 21 pounds, which on a normal Lake Erie day, I mean, you're probably not even weighing. You're just, you know, you're being pissed off and getting in your truck and going home.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a championship. Everybody's sticking around. So they weigh, and that puts them into fifth place. And I studied these numbers, and I knew that the next team, the current first place team of the year, they needed to get to 10th place or better, and they would win team of the year. 11th place or below, and they would lose team of the year. They would take second place. So I had those numbers worked out in my head, and I'm looking at the computer screen, and I see that 11th place is 16.5 pounds roughly. And I'm looking at them take their fish out of the bag and put them in the basket. And I'm like, okay, 4-pounder. I'm like, all right, maybe there's another 4-pounder. I'm like, okay, if they have a 4-pound average, it's going to put them at 20 pounds. I said, they're going to win this thing, you know? So they come up and they have a big fish to weigh. We weigh our big fish first. So I throw it up on the scale and I see like 7.90 or 91. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, there's just no way. I'm looking, you know, Lake Erie right now is just chock full of 4 to 5 pound fish. And when this fish hits the scale, I'm just like, no way, no way. But I'm trying to just continue about my job. So they put the next four up there and they got a basket of 5 fish. And I'm thinking, you know, 20, 21, 22 pounds all day long, you know, at most 25. And the scale just jumps to 33 pounds. And some change, almost 34.
Holy
smokes. And I'm just like, you could just see, you could feel it in the whole atmosphere changed.
Yeah.
The wind was taken from my sails, and I'm just like, yeah, you're new leaders, you know, and I'm trying to be happy for them, but I'm just like thinking to myself, there's just no way.
Yeah.
And you can hear the crowd. They're just, you know, some guys are, you know, a little loud and, oh, you know, BS. And, you know, I can hear it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, you know, hang out. I need pictures of those fish. I need you to hang out over here. And, I can just, you could just cut the tension with a knife, man. And, you know, so that I can hear some anguish start jaw jacking and, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, he starts to walk away a bit and I'm like, you got to stay over here. I want to look at those fish, you know, and there was some back and forth, like, are you serious? You know, this has got to stop. And I'm like, yeah, I'm serious. I want to take a look at the fish. So, walleye, they don't have to be alive, especially Lake Erie summertime, you know, it's starting to get tough to keep fish alive coming out of 70 foot of water or something. So, you know, the first thing I want to do is just check to see the condition of the fish. Are they alive? Are they, you know, are they mushy? Do they look like they, you know,
being caught today?
What are the, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I pull the first one out, you know, and it's dead. I slap it in the basket and I pull the second one out and it's dead as a doornail too, you know? So I'm like, man, so I put the fish on the ground and I feel it. I actually like feel the fish because a live fish, as you know, it has a firmness about it. So I feel this fish and I kind of squeeze it a little bit. And immediately when I squeezed this fish, I felt hard objects in the belly of this fish.
Ooh.
And I'm just like, I knew instantly, like yeah. not 1 second later, I knew instantly
what was
going on.
Yeah.
So I told my way guy, I said, hey, get me a knife. And we turned the live feed off at this point. And I said, get me a knife. And we grabbed the knife and I handed him my cell phone. I said, turn the video on.
Yeah.
So he turns the video on and I sliced this fish open, man. And the first thing I see is this nice silver chunk of lead. And I grabbed that sucker and I'm like, we got weighted fish, you know, and I got pretty animated at that point in time. And, you know, and I basically told him to get out of here.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. So I'll say this. Because it's hard. Like, when you see a fish, in the bass world at least, you want to believe you know what it weighs, right? And you see a fish that's, we talked about it earlier, you know, an 18, 19-inch fish in the bass world weighs, you know, 4 pounds. You know, it's in that range. So these fish, that was a great catch, Jason, because – you know, you're looking at a fish and its body mass, you're saying, yeah, it should be a 4 or 5 pound walleye. Yeah. You put it on the scales, it weighs 7.5 pounds. That's a great catch, you know? That's a great catch.
I would almost, like, it's amazing that you were able to come to that conclusion. Because as a tournament director, I'd be like, is my scale malfunctioning?
Right, right.
You know, like,
is
it my problem?
Right.
You know, what's going on? I don't think I would automatically jump to the conclusion that these fish have been stuffed.
Right. But they weighed the big one first, which I think was important to this whole thing, right?
And you have been getting complaints about these guys for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny that you say that, and it brings me back to a memory that I have. Now I've went back and forth. I've thought that there was some dishonesty, then I've been their biggest fan, then I've thought there's, you know, it's just so wishy-washy with these guys. And I truly try and give them the benefit of the doubt. I try to give all my guys the benefit of the doubt. And I remember an event this year where they put some fish on the scale and then the fish came off the scale and I'm like, "Wait a minute. I'm going fast and they weren't the last ones to weigh in. So I'm like, did I just see what I think I just, it was that the weight? I'm like, that doesn't add up. And I muttered like, you know, let me reweigh those. But I'm not a professional at this. I'm not, you know, we're some local guys. I'm trying to do the best I can.
Yeah.
And I also, you know, am trying to just not, you know, cause a complete scene, but I didn't end up reweighing them because I thought the same thing that you just thought. Is my equipment messed up?
Like, yeah.
Those are not, you know, did we, did we accidentally weigh the basket and not tear it out? You know,
right,
did
right.
something like that happen? Because it didn't match up. And bass, you know, bass are a little bit different because they don't grow as long as walleye, but I could say on a, you know, consistent basis, the longer the walleyes get, you can kind of pin them in weight classes. You know, 29 inch walleye, you're looking at an 8-9 pound fish, you know, and then spring and fall, you know, they obviously get fatter, but it's just they weigh very similar, especially on Lake Erie, because they're all coming out eating healthy. You know, it's very consistent. And to see a fish, I mean, they're almost not even as long as the basket that I have, and you know, they're not 7-pound fish. You would need a 7-pound average fish to get almost 35 pounds.
Yeah.
What they had.
Yeah.
It just didn't add up. And the guys knew it. I mean, if you listen to some of these videos that you see all over social media, they're like, no way. No, you know, no way.
Right.
And you know, these guys are good, man. One of our anglers, you know, actually stepped up and he's like, you know, let me see those fish. And he was wanting to get involved, you know, I already had it in my mind. I was going to inspect the fish, but this guy wasn't going to go down, you know, peacefully. He spoke his piece.
Wow. Yeah. So you're manipulating the belly. You feel this object. And, like the one thing that I was most shocked at is the tournament angler. I thought he would run for the hills.
Well, I think one of them did. One of them ran for the hills and one of them stayed. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, that's exactly how it worked.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was frozen, Pete.
He was closing his eyes,
clicking his heels, trying to say, you know, make this all go away.
Calgon, take
this
me
is
away.
Not happening right now. Yeah,
he was in dreamland.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
And that was crazy that this went down. And take us through. You found the lead, right? You've got the gun, the
evidence.
The murder weapon.
Yeah, evidence. It's clear.
You've got the gun.
Yeah.
How did you? I guess the next thing is maybe to try to keep the mob under control.
Yeah.
Well, your job was a hard one.
Yeah. I know, like I said, I know these dudes, and I'm telling you right now, it's like pissing off some people in a bar, you know, you walk into the wrong bar.
Yeah.
The wrong guys. These dudes, you know, it's not just their money, you know, it's their family life. It's their vacation time off work.
Yeah.
It's all inclusive. It's the egos, you know, I mean, these guys want to win. Most of these guys roll up to the parking lot and they got $200,000 worth of boat and truck. They don't care to win $8,000. I mean, it's nice, but they just spent, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, running 40, 50, 60 miles to go fish the best water. Gas prices are up. I mean, they want to win. They don't, you know, they don't care to win, you know, a couple grand a piece, you know? You know, so it was a bad environment. I'm like, dudes, I'm like, you got to go. And guys, do not touch them. You know, I'm like, don't make a bad situation worse. I said, don't touch them.
Right.
And nobody did.
Strong
leadership. They made them stay, though, because they called the police and they wanted them to stay. They said, no, you're not going anywhere. You stay, you know. But nobody touched them. You know, that's a good thing.
I got two things. So what's the police involvement? How's that going to play out?
Well, all of the information was turned over to the Division of Wildlife. They're gonna investigate, and you know, potential charges would be up to them. So local law enforcement has all the information, and we'll let them do their job. And anything they need from us, we'll give to them.
Okay. Do you have any idea what may come of it from that aspect?
You know, so there was fish fillets inside the fish. You probably have some game violations there. You may have some attempted theft or theft by deception. You know, I don't know. Obviously, the amounts, they wanted to know the amount of money these guys could have won. They took all my tournament records from this whole year. You know, there's a bigger picture, obviously, that they're looking at. So. Yeah. And they know these things. You know, there's been precedents set all across the country, so I'm sure they'll resource out, you know, what other jurisdictions have done. you know, but you know, I'm confident they'll do their job and they'll, you know, they'll hopefully bring some peace to this thing.
My question is, how did they pull that off with a cameraman in the boat? Do you think they could have paid him off, or?
Well, that
so that's I mean, that's always, you know, so I'm hearing a lot of that on social media. It's weird because when this happened and they won, there was some haters running their mouth about, oh, yeah, the cameraman fell asleep and then they did stuff to the fish. It was almost rumors that they started that, like, and I'm not saying that they started them, but these were rumors, or like, no, there was no rumor mill. I didn't hear from one of my anglers any complaints. But then the haters, I'm hearing all these complaints like, oh, yeah, now people are saying you did this, or now people are saying you did that. I don't, nobody was talking except for them, like the haters, you know, and I'm just like, these guys could have done anything on that boat. And our camera guy, you know, he wasn't paid off. He's a naive younger dude who was jacked up. He was getting good film.
Yeah.
And, you know, they did catch fish. I mean, they may have won the tournament fair and square, but you know what? If they have some system and on dropping these weights and fish, I'm sure it doesn't take long. Or when the camera guy gets off the boat and they're pulling the truck up to the scales or something, I just don't know. But you know, if they did it with the camera guy on the boat, it was their perfect storm because they got me. I was on their side after that event.
Yeah. Let me say this. I want to jump in real quick.
I still have part two, but go ahead.
I know. Hold on. I want to jump in real quick and say this. First thing, walleye anglers, walleye tournament anglers are fucking awesome. I want to say that real quick because I got a chance to fish a few walleye tournaments in my history. They're amazing, and they're hardcore, and this isn't indicative to all walleye fishermen, right? This is a problem that all fishing has had.
True.
Mm-hmm. And walleye guys can drink a lot of beer too, which I really appreciate. The other thing I want to say to you, Jason, is the video that I saw where you got pissed off because this is your deal. And I honestly looked at that and I'm like, man, that's freaking awesome because I can see that you were passionate about it. And it like reminded me of like – there were two things that reminded me of. One was it reminded me sort of a, like a Chris Farley movie that I saw before. But the other one was me and Pete Lusick got into a fight at a bar before many years ago. And Pete was so mad, he was like banging on his chest. It reminded me of that. But it was the same thing because it was like, seriously, it was like, man, this is bullshit because this is something I'm passionate about. So
Not a fight with each other.
Right, not a fight with each other, a fight with somebody else. But I appreciate that, Jason.
Didn't he tear his shirt off and beat his hairy chest?
No, he's just beating his chest. He didn't tear his shirt off, but beating his chest.
I think he did.
I wasn't opposed to it.
Okay, Brian, what else did you have? I know you had something else.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's fucked up now because you guys all stepped all over, which is stupid
shit. I know.
I was just saying, like, maybe next time, you know, telling the guys don't touch them. Another option would be all cameras off. You know what I mean? Because honestly, you know, and this is the people that, you know, will say that this isn't the great idea, but fuck them. You know, sometimes people need to get punched in the face. I mean, it's just... I think it would have served them well. I mean, at the end of the day, what are they? It's a different world because we've allowed certain people to turn the damn cameras off and punch them in the face. You know, like
it's a different world, though. I think it will come full circle, though, and they'll get what they deserve. But I
think
they will.
A broken nose still hurts.
But here's the big thing that I want to say.
It always will hurt.
Yeah. And Jason, this is crazy because I think. This, what happened, and I'm glad you handled it the way you did. I think what you did and what happened is a good thing for tournament fishing.
Yes.
And it will change. It will change the sport of tournament fishing across the board. I really think it will. Mm-hmm. And I think it was important that it happened at this public level. Because, Pete, you mentioned it. It's happened before. This isn't anything new. We've heard this stuff since we fished. From the late 80s to now, right?
Sure.
We've heard of these stories. But to have this documentation, I think in the next year or two, you will see walleye, crappie, bass tournaments take new measures to not have this happen, you know? I think it was great the way it was documented, because I think it needed to happen.
Oh, yeah, dude. The
it
angry
needed
South,
to happen.
Sounded like a South Park crowd.
Yeah.
Jobs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did.
Jason,
yeah.
So what was with the walleye fillets? I have my theory on that, but do
you know, I'm just – the only thing I'm thinking of is it probably – It probably was something that could be undetected. You're not going to feel it. It's natural. It's not going to go off in some detector, you know. And I don't know if that was put in there, and then they're like, man, we probably ought to get some more weight in there. I don't know. But it's just a natural thing that I assume they would think went undetected.
I feel like it was put in there as part of the weights to pad the bellies.
Had the bellies.
That's what I was thinking. Like, I know when you held the one up, it looked like there was a string hanging from it. Maybe there wasn't. I didn't know if they were sewing the weights into the fillets and then they came undone. But I was thinking.
No, there was nothing like that. It was just kind of a big sloppy mess in there. But again, there was no surgical precision, man. It was just slice and dice and start ripping weights out of these fish and
stomp their heads into the ground. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, almost. When weights come out of a fish, you got a problem.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's a problem. I want to check in. Jake, what do we got coming through? I know we got a lot of people watching and listening that are fed up too, like everyone. So what do we got coming through the IMs right now?
We got a good one from Nicholas Law on Facebook. He said overseas in Japan, they use metal detectors on the fish before they get weighed in.
Yeah, like wands. Okay.
No. That's Mexico.
Mexico, okay.
Wands.
And we need hats to say we got weights and fish from Jabber. Nolan Miner.
We need the hats. Yeah. No, I honestly think the metal detector thing might be something you see, Pete.
I guess that's we're going to see it.
Yeah.
You know, because it could happen. It could be happening under our noses.
Right.
In bass fishing tournaments.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Because bass are a little different, right? Because they can. You know, the same, they get wide.
Right.
And you could hide. I'm not trying to give anybody ideas.
Yeah.
But you may be able to hide weight in fish like that. It
right.
might be happening under our nose.
Right.
When there's money on the line, anything's possible.
Yeah. And well, that's a great, that's
money
a great
keeps
point.
Getting bigger.
Yeah, that's a great point, Bailey. It's you know, money can make honest people crazy. Mm-hmm. It really can. And that's a shame. That it's like that, but you know, like as a tournament guy, I can step back and say, I don't compete for that. Like this year, and bass is a great example, dude. I sucked asshole. I could not catch a fish this year.
Yeah, you could have used some.
But
weights,
I could have used weights, but I would never trade that.
No.
To because it's not why I do it, right? But
for me, it was always.
But
like,
money changes things.
Like I would never want to. Have an infraction that would keep me out of the sport that I love so much.
Right.
You know, so if I err on the side of caution to my own detriment a lot of times.
Right. Heard that.
You know, like I didn't go into a creek one time last year on the Potomac because I was like.
Because you thought it might be off limits.
I thought it might be off limits. And I'm like, I can't.
Right.
I love this sport, man.
Right.
I don't want anything to stop me from doing it. Yeah. You know?
It's like what your mother says when you're a kid. It's like think about the consequences before your actions.
Yeah.
Right.
If they scare you, then don't do it.
Right.
Don't be a moron, you idiot.
Right.
Right. Like that.
Right.
As my mom said.
Yeah. Right. Jake, what do you got?
Jason, did this team they fished a fall brawl and a walleye slam? Did they lose because of a polygraph? Failing a polygraph?
Yeah, so I currently run the fall brawl now. I did not run it last year. And they won that tournament with, again, a 29-inch fish that weighed 12.79 something pounds. So kind of, although it was fall and the fish are fat, there was some controversy over that fish. And then ultimately the fall brawl didn't pass them on their polygraph. That... You know, they were disqualified there. And then the walleye slam did pass them on their polygraph. So, you know, who knows? I don't have the results, although I'm the new current owner of the fall brawl. I never got to the bottom of the story because of legal reasons, you know, the old administration and then these contestants kept that, you know, secret, I guess. So that's it was a huge deal with these guys. And that was the thing. It was like, did they do something wrong or didn't they? Because ultimately these polygraphs are tools, they're instruments, and humans are the ones that run them.
Right.
So you just never know what you get, and it's kind of the best we have in these type of situations when you're fishing out by yourself. Obviously, you know, you got to look into a few more precautions now, but like you said, it may change the game, but it was a huge deal last year, and it involved these guys.
Right. Jason, how do you think these guys are going to be treated next year on tour?
Well, you know what? Honestly, you know, I don't want to see anybody lose everything they got. I think they did a pretty good job at doing that, though. I don't think they'll ever fish any tournament ever again anywhere. But like, you know, fishing is a pastime. You grow up, and I know that these guys, you know, have kids, and I hope that the sport isn't ripped from them. And they can get back to at least being able to enjoy the sport. I really am sorry that this happened for them, because everybody makes mistakes, but this one's inexcusable.
Yeah.
But it's a, you know, fishing is a way of life from, as you guys know, you know, and I hope that they could at least get that back.
That's admirable, Jason.
Yeah.
But this isn't their first time. They've been doing it a long time. In my opinion, you know, they put 8 pounds into 5 fish. That's not like dipping your toes in. They've been doing it. They've been getting away with it, and they're addicted to it. And I hope they never fish again, and I hope they golf. I hope they take their bullshit to the golf course.
That's worse than a prison sentence, Brian.
I'm just saying, that's what I'd like to say.
You're trying to make them golfers.
And their children golf too.
Wow. Oh, God. That's below the belt right there.
I'm just saying, Jason.
Damn, now their kids are
the hostility.
Yeah. The hostility with the golf statement.
You know, it's interesting because the 8 pounds, at first I thought 8 pounds of weight, that's a monumental amount. But if you distribute it over 5 fish, that's like a pound and 3/4 of fish.
That's still a lot, though. That's still a lot. This was nice that Jake brought this in. We've got a little wicker basket here, Jason. I don't know if you can see this that was brought in here. And we have lead weights. These are probably a different kind, but that's a 3-ounce weight right
three
there.
3 ounce.
Wow.
That's a 3 ounce.
Yep.
Just that one. So if you're going to pound, what did you just say? A pound and what?
That's a pound and 3. That's an extra pound in addition to this weight.
In addition to that weight, so
man, that's probably
that's
an 8
a lot.
Month.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
That's huge.
That's incredible. I wow.
Yeah. Was there a pair of pliers too, Jason?
Yeah, I keep hearing that. So that's my pair of pliers. We cut the fish open with like a Leatherman type tool.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so pliers weren't actually in there.
Okay.
I got you.
Wow. Well. This was a big deal. I mean, I think it took the world by storm for sure, for sure it did. And but you know, things like this, it's very. I think it's reactive. Like I think it was in high. It when we look at it years later, it's going to be a good thing for the sport. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a good thing because we want things to be on the up and up. And I think other circuits will look at this and say, we need to address it.
You know? Jason. I heard they won $300,000 last year.
Ooh.
That team.
Ooh.
So,
wow.
I haven't got out the pad and paper or pen and paper, but they won a boat, and the boat was estimated, you know, at least they advertised it as $150,000. So you got that.
Wow.
And in the same event, you know, I believe they took like 11th place or something. So they got some cash for that. In my events, they won a lot of money. They won other people's events. I mean, they won a lot of money, and I don't know if it totals $300,000. It's probably somewhere in that ballpark, but just, you know, just for my event in that would have been about 30 for Friday's event, and you had three previous events that they won of mine this year. You know, I mean, it was just like you said, they kept, you know, they got greedy.
Yeah.
They kept going back to that. They were getting away with it, and they were addicted, is what you know.
Yeah.
It could be if that's true, they just tapped that resource one too many times and got caught, you know.
Yep.
It was just a perfect storm. If they were weighing in like in the middle of things, I don't know if I would have had enough guts to just stop the whole deal and do that.
Yeah.
But they were dead last. And I knew it, like I calculated in my brain exactly what they needed, and you know I'm looking at it because I'm studying it, and I want to be interesting while I was up there, and it was just a perfect storm. It just didn't add up to me.
Yeah.
Well, man, that's great heads up by you, and you showed great leadership at the when all this was going down. So I just want to. You know, congratulate you for that. It's a tough situation, man.
Yeah.
Very
tough.
You handled it well.
Yeah, you did.
Yep.
You did. Yeah, hats off. Hats off.
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I appreciate you coming on. I mean, it was, like I said, what you see on social media and what actually happened can often be two different things. So it was great to hear the real story and get clarification on what happened. And we appreciate you coming on the show. It was awesome to hear it from you.
I appreciate you inviting me. It was awesome, you know, to tell the story. And one thing I did want to kind of just say, and you guys already touched on it, this isn't a walleye fishing problem. This isn't a bass fishing problem.
Yeah.
This is a tournament fishing problem. And you guys, as well as our guys, do so many good things for the community, whether it's gas stations, hotels, restaurants, you know, local businesses, local bait shops, you know, repping sponsors, your uncles, brothers, mothers started a product and you got them on your t-shirt, you know, and these guys do things, you know, it's a family and they help, you know, kids with cancer. And as a matter of fact, at this event, we were helping some families struggling with cancer. There's so many good things that come about from fishing and competitive fishing. That's not just a bunch of, you know, thugs up here trying to cheat people out of money. And it's the opposite. This is the extreme minority. And most guys do this on the up and up, and most guys value their reputation way more than they value $8,000. And you know, guys like you like set the stage for just guys like us that want to be part of it, and we want to be that big stage, and we try our ass off to do that. And you know, this is not tournament fishing. You know, come out, check out the tournaments. It's a great atmosphere, and be a part of it and learn some stuff because it's not this.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree. Jason, real quick, we got a lot of people watching probably from the walleye world as well tonight. If someone's watching tonight and they want to come fish your circuit next year, is there? Can you leave us with a website or a link or something? Well, how can they find you?
So they can find us. It's Lake Erie walleyetrail.com, LakeErieWalleyeTrail.com, and we've got signups going on for the Fall Brawl. It's Lake Erie Fall Brawl. It's a $35 entry. Biggest fish. You can win a brand new boat. You know, we're giving away some boats, big prizes. And last year, it ended up being won by a guy fishing out of a John boat.
Heck
not,
yeah.
Not even a Love couple it. Couple Woo! Hundred yards on the shore, man.
Heck yeah.
Oh yeah.
Tiny boat madness.
Free treads.
I love that.
Yeah, he upgraded from a tin boat to a Ranger 622.
Holy smokes!
Nice,
wow.
Dang. Pete, you
want to
go for the tournament?
Jason, who are the winners? who are the winners from this event?
Yeah, who are the actual winners? We need to give them a shout out too.
Yeah. So the actual winners, I'm gonna give three shout outs here. So
how about it, buddy?
We got actual winners are the Lake Erie Walleye Trail Anglers. They got a clean slate. We got some cheaters off the block. The winners of the event. Steve Tisco and Chris French. They won the championship.
Yay! Yes! Frenchie!
Shout out to Frenchie.
Yeah. Woo!
And my man won Team of the Year. We've got Steve Hendricks and Brian Almer. Those dudes rocked it all year long.
Right on.
They pulled it out. They're Team of the Year.
Heck yeah.
That's awesome.
So.
It's awesome.
I appreciate you guys, man. It's been awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, Jason, thanks for coming on.
Thank you,
Jason.
Thanks
for
straightening us out. We know the story now. We appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Sir.
Jason Fisher, everybody. Yes.
Thanks. Good job, bud.
Yes. That was awesome. And, like, honestly, I'd love to hear it from the horse's mouth because, you know, who the hell knows? When shit's being spread through social media, so-and-so post this, TikTok this, that, blah, blah, you don't know.
Right.
And to get to hear it from the horse's mouth was great. But yep. let me say this, Brian DeCarpenter, because I know we still got a couple things to do, housekeeping, but
housekeeping?
The implications are great across the board. Because let me say this.
Yes.
I know a lot of people watching right now are be like, this is just a walleye problem.
Nah, dude.
Because they use a leech and they troll and it's critical or whatever. Critical. In an Al Linder voice, right? They're saying that to themselves. But it's a bigger problem because, you know, here you have a team, right? A team tournament where you're saying two dudes in a boat as a team launching out Lake Erie. It's like the ocean.
Yeah.
That's a problem. But, dude, we have the problem. We have the problem. Let me tell you this.
I have a list of the problem.
Oh.
Let me tell you mine, and then, Pete, since you got the list, I'll let you go on. Bailey, check this out.
Check it out, Bill.
Four times this year in the elites.
Four.
I fished by myself. They let me launch. BASS let me launch in an elite tournament. By myself. In the bylaws, it said I had to run a camera. They never check my camera. They never check my chip. They never request it for the content from that day. I ran my camera because it was in the law. It was in the contract that I signed. Who the fuck knows? I'm out there at Santee where there's 5, 10, 15 pounders on beds everywhere. I'm by myself. What about the Opens? Twice in the Opens this year, I fished by myself with no check and balance. Dude, this isn't a walleye problem. This is a problem that goes across the board.
Walleye flakes.
It worries me.
Well, it's gonna bring to light maybe some of the rules that are taking place right now, some checks and balances. But like in the Opens and even in the elites, you never know that you're not going to have a partner.
You don't know.
Right. So there's.
But I still hate it.
It's hard to prepare to cheat if you anticipate you're always going to have a partner. You know?
Maybe.
It's a good point.
I don't know.
I have my top list of infractions.
Okay.
You have a list?
I have a list.
All right.
Powered by Paul. Let me get a drum roll.
Drum roll. Pete's list.
He's still awake.
Pete's list.
Man, it's hard. I can't really put these in order except for number one. Number one, I think I have. There was a
broken trolling motor cables.
There was a BFL infraction by a Hoyle caught with an 11-ounce weight stuffed into a bass. An 11-ounce hand-poured lead weight stuffed in. Was DQ'd from ever competing in BFL tournaments in North Carolina in 2012.
Huh.
We have we talked about this, the Nate Wellman incident.
Oh, yeah.
Where offered to purchase a bass from his co-angler.
Right. Buy it right there on the spot.
Buy it. He suffered a $2,500 penalty.
That's it.
And was put on probation. And the FLW... prevented him from fishing for a year. That was his penalty.
That's
but
he should have been forced to golf.
He said he was joking. His co-angler said it sounded serious. There's no real and no real cheating or benefit was ever taking place.
Right.
You know, so that's down low on my list. Mike Jones, the longtime writer for Bassmaster magazine, every single entry into the largest bass weighed in is a violation.
What?
Is this the Mike Jones that we met at?
Yeah.
Every single
one. I like that guy.
One,
yeah. That guy's
like,
dope.
They're all caught on trout. They all have lead weights. They, you know, There's something going on with almost every entry.
Oh, well, I would agree with that. We don't know the historical world record because we don't have as much info on that one. But the current tie to the world record from Japan was caught on a bluegill. And that's a fact.
Yes. Hmm.
Is that a fact?
That's a fact.
Is it openly said as it was a bluegill?
Yeah. 100%.
So they admitted it was a bluegill.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
Yes. Which leads me to the snagging of Mike Long on all those California Giants. Just egregiously, you know, selling and building an entire platform around it and just, you know, pulling the wool over the whole fishing community's eyes. Go Google Mike Long snagging bass. And you'll see what I'm talking about.
You Google it.
Story time with Uncle Pete.
The most.
I'm surprised you're not supposed to find it on TikTok.
Don't encourage him, Paul.
You know, this happened before TikTok, believe it or not.
Pete, was there life before TikTok?
I'm not sure.
It was a boring one.
I'll have to check. But to me, the most egregious and horrible cheating took place by Tony Christian, who won $500,000.
FLW.
He won the All-American, and he was caught using a fish trap, and the
giant cover up. This is a historical moment that is. Giant cover-up in the history of bass. God bless you.
He apparently, there was a cancellation or weather delay, 1 hour to fish, and he was highlighted in – he threw to one spot on a dock and caught a solid limit of fish that put him in contention in the tournament, which red-flagged him. And he went out the next day, and they were prepared – with video, and they had identified a fish trap off that dock that had bass in it. It had a rubber top with an X through it, where he was able to pitch his bait through there, and
super
basically
elaborate, dude.
hide the catches from his co-angler and from the camera even, right? Because it appeared as though, and he was pitching a bait
was
into a place.
Was he snagging them?
No. They were
eating it.
They were eating it because they had been in there. Assuming
they were starved.
They were starved fish, or you know that would be the assumption. But he was actually getting the bass to eat in the trap, his bait.
Yeah.
And then when he would set the hook, the flaps would open up to allow the fish to come through.
Dude, that's trick. I mean, not to give that cheating
points.
Bad,
fair enough.
But dude, way better than a damn. Dumb weight in the stomach of a walleye.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's
fish
badass.
Fillets or not, this is weight
right.
over. Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Crazy.
And he was this went on. He won $500,000 in 2 years.
Wow.
Before he was banned, and that was his punishment. Like nobody that I'm aware of has been
jailed,
prosecuted,
right?
Dang.
Just by the organization saying.
You're banned,
fish.
You're eliminated,
wow.
or like fined, like some small fines going on.
Jake and Brian Carpenter, Tony Christensen.
Christian.
Write that in your notes.
Tony Christian.
Christian as the next guest on Ike Live.
I want to say there's someone in kayak that's been.
Yeah, I remember there was one guy, wouldn't he cut the tails off a bass and then cover his hand up?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I saw
Whoa.
That.
You didn't
hear
about
that,
Mike?
Oh, I
no.
saw that.
Really?
Yeah, kayaks had some.
No, I heard of the boards being bent, the
there was that.
Catch boards being bent or altered.
No, what the guy would do is he would cut the tail off, and you know how you cover the fish's body with your hand?
Yeah,
he would move it up just an inch so that there's just empty space where your hand is covering.
Yeah, so like you caught a fish longer. That had like a long, like good tail, cut the tail off of it, and on your smaller fish, like a 13, 14-incher, put the tail on where you're allowed to hold by the tail. So cover the part where the tail is on that fish.
Be.
Give it that tail, and you get an extra 2 inches.
Whoa.
That dude was caught with, like, fish tails in his kayak. They had him dead to rights, and I believe, I'm not 100% believe he was put in jail.
You will get caught. You will get caught. Yeah. I was researching that Utah had a situation where they had fish that were
the Mormons.
They looked different. Like it was so crazy. Like they had the pink fins, like they had been kept in a cage forever and ever, and they actually sampled them and were testing the genealogy of the DNA of the fish. Trying to prosecute those guys, and you will get caught.
Yeah,
you will get caught.
Yeah. Well, either way, this was an incredible thing because I think Brian, you said it was caught on film, right?
It
was caught on camera. It was pretty unique because we've had these things before, Pete. That was a big list, but none of those were caught technically on film, right? This is the first one.
Like. Straight on the spot.
On the spot.
Busted on the spot. Busted. Standing there with an angry mob.
Yeah, lynch mob.
Yeah, sound like South Flames. Park right behind them.
Yeah. Wow. Crazy.
Yeah, it was dope.
That is.
Crazy. Well, we'll see how it changes the world. I would, real quick, just to get back to the thing with bass, I would say my take on letting the guys out by themselves, whether it's in an open or an elite, is the league has to take responsibility of capturing that content, not the anglers, right? So if you have a field of 100 elite anglers and you only have 8 marshals or 80 marshals, those 20 guys that go up by themselves, they should all have cameras on their boats that are league-initiated cameras that are set up and recorded by the league on your boat, not by you. That's the way to handle that because that still freaks me out. I don't like it. Mm-hmm. I don't like an elite. I'm not saying, I met most of the elite guys. I think they're good guys. But money changes people, man.
Money does put people in a weird spot.
I don't want anybody going out fishing by themselves without a check and balance. If you can't get a guy to co-angler or marshal in that boat, set the league's responsibility to set that camera in there. Not the angler's responsibility. You're just dumb fishermen.
That's a good point.
So I tasked the league with
that. No, you're right about that, dude.
I tasked the league with that.
The angler's got to
pay. Their responsibility. They're making enough money. Spend the money on that. Trying to put a lot of money in your pockets. I get it. Spend the extra money. You have to have a camera on those boats.
Well, we got to keep it honest. And for the most part, we do. But, people are going to bend the rules. They're going to constantly try to bend the rules.
That and get rid of active target. No, that was a joke. I just want to fire people up on that one. That one was a joke. I'm not kidding about that. I'm just kidding about that one. But, man, what a guest. What a guest. What an amazing
thing. Fishing that took place. It's crazy.
Pretty crazy. Pretty wild. Last chance, guys. If you're watching, we're getting close to the end here. If you're watching still on Facebook, like and share the feed. If you do that, you got a little bit of time here. We're going to enter you in a contest to win the Ike Live gift bag if you're watching over on Facebook. We have anything that came through? You want anything unique, Jake?
A lot of
shit. You want to put a couple through? And then I'd like to open this Mr. Tackle Box. We'll pass it around a little bit. What do you got?
From our local news sources on the message board, they said there were some high school kids in Texas that were caught.
High school kids?
Yeah.
Pulling
fish from a basket.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. That's bad.
It's been a year for cheating.
That's bad.
Has it?
There's been a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, the high school thing just bummed me out, though.
That was like a week. That was like a Wednesday nighter, I thought.
Yeah, it was like a little tournament.
That bums me out.
Yeah.
That bums me out.
Again, golf.
Yeah.
Send them to golf.
I hate that.
Give them a basketball. Here, go dribble this.
What else you got, Jake?
And don't use tungsten. It costs more than your tournament entry.
Don't use tungsten to stuff
still,
a fish?
Yeah, still use lead.
8 pounds. I wonder how much 8 pounds of tungsten would cost.
I don't know.
Good gosh.
It's smaller, though. It's smaller.
Easier to
don't
buy.
Listen.
I know. Don't I'm not listen. Saying anything. I'm just saying tungsten is smaller than
but
lead.
But, yeah, what does 8 pounds of – Jake, you sell tungsten?
You're at $1. You're at $10 for an ounce. So you're at $160.
Wait.
A pound.
A pound.
$10 a pound or $10 an ounce?
$10 an ounce. So you're at $160 a pound.
Wait, $10 an ounce? One single 1 ounce tungsten weight is $10?
Yeah, through the retail.
Well, you don't pay for shit.
No. No idea. No, wait a minute.
That's legit.
Wait a minute. Guys aren't paying $10 for a single ounce weight,
sure
are they?
Sure they are.
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
They are?
Definitely. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't pay for shit. You're right.
You son of a bitch. Look what you're doing to your people.
I mean, I can VMC.
You need to pay attention.
You're peddling that
shit,
dude.
Well, bullshit. I've been working with VMC forever.
You should know.
I don't know.
You're peddling that
dude,
shit.
Dude, now.
Oh, is it really that much? Oh, yeah. God, I feel bad now.
Try
you should repent.
Ounce and a half.
I feel bad. I actually feel bad now.
Paul, pray for him.
Damn, well, I've been breaking weights off like they're nothing. I feel bad now.
And then people like me got to buy it.
Oh,
you don't have to worry about buying it.
Oh, man. Why'd we even bring this shit up? Now
Paul's crawling over guardrails.
Oh, man.
That's $160.
$10 for a weight, for a one-ounce weight?
I don't use Dunks.
$7 on Tackle Warehouse. Shop
dude,
there.
Dude, it'd be $1,200 for 8 pounds of tungsten.
Wow. Uh-huh. Huh. That's crazy.
$12 for lid.
Jeez.
$1,200?
This is let me throw this out there real quick. This is a whole – this is more of a BU live part. But
what, the lead?
There are times when lead is better than tungsten. That's a BU topic.
Bob Sully came on and was telling us about it.
Oh, yeah. I think that is a cool topic because
so
there
far.
Are times when lead's better than tungsten.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm intrigued.
Right.
Because I'm so gung-ho on tungsten.
Yeah. Carolina rigging? There are times. Larry, snagging and rocks?
Dude,
come back to me on it.
I had the guy I was paired with.
Come back to me.
Nathan Trojanek. Shout out, homeboy.
Shout out, Nathan.
He was drop-shotting with, like, freaking 10 or something. His weights were like this big.
Giant.
I'm exaggerating.
Cannonballs.
But guess who wasn't getting snagged?
Right.
Let me get tungsten so we can get every freaking nook and cranny.
I'm going to go Larry Nixon on
the fuck
on
out
you.
Of here with that
Larry
shit.
Nixon.
Larry Nixon, a Bass University seminar, uses lead on the lightweights. Like whenever he's using a bullet sinker in the 16th and 8th
right.
and even quarter. Because it matches up better with the bait.
It's true.
It's a better streamlined.
It's a more streamlined because the tungsten's so tiny, it looks awkward.
Tiny.
It doesn't look
and there's,
natural.
There's like a lip, too, that causes snagging.
So the bigger lead is a benefit and the lighter weights.
Jake Market, this is a whole BU seminar. We're doing the next BU Live.
Send it right to Riz.
Yeah, this isn't Ike Live. It doesn't involve any curse words, so we don't want to talk about
it. I can
it
curse.
All right. This is the cool part of the show. If you're still hanging in there with us, thank you for watching tonight. We've had a great show, of course. So we've got Bailey talking about all great stuff, and we had the walleye thing, which we kind of – I think we figured that out a little bit. That was kind of cool. But this is – we're the only live podcast, Pete, that does a MTB unboxing. I don't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
We are.
Well, I guess I did know that.
Yes. So,
it says it every show.
Yes. So we are doing a MTB Elite unboxing tonight. This is my favorite part. Pete, you know I put the mic real close.
Yep.
Here's the seal breaking. You ready? Oh, wait. Paul, listen. Wait. Wow! Did you hear
there
that?
Yeah, yep.
I heard it.
And we're going to pass this around. Pete, you know how the game works. We're going to pass it around. We're going to grab a bait. Grab whatever bait you want, something to catch your eye, and we're going to talk about it. Bailey's our guest, so we're going to start with Bailey tonight.
I like it.
We're going to start with Bailey.
Oh,
Bailey,
boy.
Pick one thing out.
Thank you, sir.
We'll pass it over to Paul, and we'll just keep going around.
Ooh. Okay.
Take this from you, suckers.
Oh, you got a good one, didn't you? Oh, I see you hiding it, too.
Yeah.
What do you got, Bailey?
I got a Bass Reaper Bait Co. It's a icicle. It's a drop shot bait.
Ooh.
What's that?
It's a long drop shot bait.
It is.
It's like a
6-inch
bait.
It's got like a spade tail.
It does.
It almost reminds me of the old jelly worm. You remember the jelly worm tail?
Dude, I do.
I just watched an episode.
Dude, very
about
similar.
The jelly
Thank
worm.
You, Paul. Very
Yeah, it's
similar.
Almost like an arrowhead at the end of the tail.
Look at that. Kind
of like your stick worm that you put like a cover shot, like an EWG style hook on.
Yeah.
Drop shot in grass or something.
And I got a Phoenix Elite Series Archie Jig. Got a nice brown color, 3/8 ounce.
Ooh.
I'm a jig kind of guy. I like call some nice
now,
fish
wait a
on
minute.
Jigs.
Wait a minute. Is that hold on? Let me see. This. Is that living rubber or silicone? Oh, it's silicone, but it almost looks living rubber.
Yeah, it's a nice color
too.
Really natural color.
Phoenix.
Yep.
Wow. like that. All right, Pete. This was sort of like with Bailey winning on a frog today.
Did you get that frog?
I saw this.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, yeah, I'm grabbing the frog.
Yeah, like,
I'm surprised he didn't grab
the frog. Paul, like, there was a frog. How did he let that frog go by?
But I just felt like the timing was right. This is a – Brian, how do you say this? Tataki?
Tataki.
Tataki? Tataki frog.
Tataki?
Yes. Tataki. And this is from 10,000 Fish, which I think is a Ketchco brand. This is their tagline is Roam the Pads. Roam the Pads. And I've got a black and red frog.
Hmm.
Cool color combination, right?
Popping or no pop?
No popping. No popping. It's just a front-faced frog.
Paul, right, here, no popping.
Here's my deal. The softness is a big factor for me. Oh, and yeah. I like this.
Flaccid.
I like this because it's soft.
It's a nice flaccid frog.
It's soft. Two other things real quick that I notice. It has the bodies actually mold it with little – you see that little inset?
Big profile.
Indents, yeah.
So the hooks actually set in little depressions on the body. I like that. Last but not least, Pete, give me – you know what that is. You tell me so I don't seem like a fool when I tell
you. That's like LeMay.
LeMay?
That stuff?
Yeah.
What is that?
Lumafoil.
Lumaflex.
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 Is that what it is?
Yes.
It comes from LeMay.
Does it come from LeMay?
Gold That's
LeMay.
A Becky thing, LeMay.
Yeah.
Gold
is that,
LeMay.
Is that cosmetics?
No.
Gold LeMay?
Remember those pants? Old Ranger jerseys that we had with the flashy like thing? That was LeMay.
Crushed
LeMay.
Velvet.
All right, whatever it is, Lumaflex, LeMay, or Flashaboo, whatever it is.
Flashaboo.
Flashaboo. Very cool. Very cool, because I haven't seen that in a lot of frogs. I like that in combination with the silicone. That's pretty cool.
That is very cool.
I would definitely throw that.
Where was the tournament that Aaron Martin's won? Was it Havasu?
It was Havasu.
With the black and red birds?
Blackbirds.
There's your pattern.
Dude, very close.
Yeah.
Black and orange, black and red.
It's funny you say that.
That's a good looking frog.
Because I was watching
frog, dude.
I was watching the Len Dollar. Isn't he the guy?
Yeah, Len Dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Len Dollar.
That puts the old Bassmaster shows up.
Oh, yeah, all the old ones, yeah.
And I went down a rabbit hole with them.
Yeah.
I watched Clear Lake. And
Byron? The one Byron
No,
won?
No.
Steve Kennedy?
Steve Kennedy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. What is this thing called? A Huddleston, man.
Do you remember all the ones he had to let go that hooked outside the mouth?
Hooked outside the mouth, yeah.
He had that treble hook that kept snagging him on the top of
and
the
it
lip.
And it didn't matter. It didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
He was catching so many 7-8 pounders, didn't matter. He's like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Outside the mouth.
Yeah. And what happened?
He won.
He still won.
But days are over. Yeah.
But then the Falcon, I watched that. I started this big fish thing, and I watched Paul Elias win Carolina rigging a man's 12-inch jelly worm with that same tail.
Those fish were dumb, though, let me tell you. I remember that
tournament. I can't imagine.
Oh, my God, they were dumb.
That must have been
never been fish
a worms. Magic moment.
Oh, God. Never. Been
Shout out worms. To Wabba Hoagie Lady.
Crazy. Well, here's a bait.
Pete?
Here's a bait that I would never throw. And this is why I like this bait. Like I would see this and I'm like, the bill is almost as long as the bait.
Yeah.
Like
little body, but
super
dives
little
deep.
Body dives super deep.
Good for winter fishing.
And I'm looking at this and I'm excited that I would put this in my arsenal. I want to see what this does in the water.
Yeah.
I want to see how
Jerk
it
bait.
Reacts. Yeah. And this because at first look I would be like nah it's not but now that I have it I want to try it you know
I wonder how it performs around
unique.
Those docks you know the Bagley's theory with the big bill you know like severe angle to the bill to get that thing to go deep quick I wonder how that would do
I wonder if it's a thumping even bait
reaction strike it's interesting
what's that
it's interesting Jake, what do you got back there?
I got little 3.5 swim baits. We actually got these in a prior box. I took them out on a secret pond near here.
What's the name of that? Is that Joko?
This is the Joko Shakers.
Joko, okay.
Jokers.
I took these out on a local pond that we're really close to right now. I actually caught a 3-pounder on them. Really? So, proven.
Dang. Proven.
Proven.
Proven, folks.
If you can catch a fish in South Jersey, you're doing something.
Oh, yeah. Catch one.
And four pickerel, but that's besides the point.
Pickerel. Yeah.
Slime rockets.
And I got...
Brian?
A shot of New Riff bourbon.
Is it New Riff or is it Sex Panther?
New Sex Panther.
Okay. New Sex Panther.
Dude, wow. Shout out to Bailey for coming down here.
Yeah.
Whooping that ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the second time. At least the second time, because Ron Champion came down and won the event at Newton.
He did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Are you saying, Brian, are you saying Ike Live's lucky?
Probably.
Good picks.
I don't know.
I think that's what you tried to say.
But they're both kayak events. And shout out to Jason Fisher for doing a masterful job handling it. That's a sticky situation, man.
That's a sticky situation. And honestly, I said it kiddingly, but I watched that video repeatedly where you could tell he was very upset and passionate.
Yeah.
But he did it in such a way where, you know, like the whole interview, he was like, look, these guys were fucked. It was terrible. But they're human beings. They make mistakes. And I got that from him the whole interview.
He honestly,
that's great. That's great that he has that ability to.
He somehow kept those guys alive.
He kept them alive. He didn't punch them in the face himself, which
I'm telling you,
could have done.
It could have been a mob. It could have
been a mob scene.
It could have been horrible.
Yeah.
How horrible, dude. Stop.
Nah.
It could have been.
Well.
Once guys get their, you know.
Yeah, but these are these guys. These
once they get their blood up, man, you don't know.
A couple broken noses goes a long way.
Yeah. It really goes to show the genuine good humanity in the guy for not, you know what I mean, getting all blown out of proportion like I'm sure some of us would. Yeah.
Who would do that?
Well, I mean, the story hit, like, Fox News and the New York Times.
New York Times.
If it turned into a riot, it would have been bad press.
And TMZ.
It's already bad. It's actually already bad press, though. It's already bad press. The whole entire fishing industry is like 20 years behind mainstream America.
That's true.
And now you have something like this. We haven't had a fishing article in the New York Times since ESPN owned Bass. Mm-hmm. And now the first article back on New York Times is this bullshit.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem. If that doesn't tell you, shut the freaking news off. Shut it all out of your life because it's all bullshit. It's all negativity.
Or are we doing a bad job in the fishing industry on getting our good news and our good messages to mainstream media? And I would argue to say
what would the good message be? Somebody caught a bass today?
I don't know. I mean, we're getting new kids fishing, diversity in fishing, conservation. We talked about the good messages.
Yeah, winner of the classic.
Like, why the hell isn't
major events?
Why the hell aren't the and I won't even throw any of them directly under the bus, but why aren't the tournament organizations hiring a PR agency, Gunpowder, to get mainstream coverage anymore? What happened to that? Where'd that go?
I was in the boat. My first class or my second classic with a writer from the New York Times.
Me too. My first classic, I had a writer from the New York Times.
Yeah.
Why? Why aren't they doing
that's
that?
That's an even more interesting challenge with this industry, with the Times being like, if you go, you know, Pete, with your TikTok, you go post stuff, like, people are, like, anti-hunting, anti-fishing.
They are.
And, like, there's some of these outlets are, like, the same way. They won't even touch on
it. Too many Karens.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking for a negative
story.
Too
many people that Ike had to deal with.
Yeah, I had to deal with it. Look at Dick's Sporting Goods. Great example. So I worked at Dick's, and then I was able to parlay that to a sponsorship with Dick's. Well, Christ, there's Dick's now that don't even carry fishing shit because of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they bow down to the pressure of what Bailey just said. I called a Dick's. Where was I? Oh, my God. Where was I? I called a Dick's because I was looking for something. Tackle Warehouse didn't have it. I started, like, panicking, call all around. I called a Dick's for something fishing. And they're like, hello, Dick's Sporting Goods. Can you connect me to the fishing department? We don't have a hunting and fishing department here anymore. What? Dude, Dick's was started as a hunting and fishing store in the 40s by Dick.
Mike
Dick,
Dicker.
Can't remember his last name now. Dick, whatever.
Dickinson. Yeah.
Right.
I got a question.
You don't
for
have
you.
A hunting and fishing department?
It all started.
Are you
when...
fucking kidding me?
Well,
yeah, I mean, they have Field and Stream. Like they're like that.
Yeah, some stores have Field and Stream. Some stores got rid of it.
It started when Dick stopped selling firearms, and that's what the trickle down effect. That's what.
No good.
Let's not go this road because I'll say Biden, and then. And somebody will get offended on
whatever.
Dick,
everybody else. Oh, yeah.
Dick Stack. Yeah.
Brian Carpenter, no politics, no religion on this show.
Oliver Nye said he caught a bass once in South Jersey. It's on the message board.
Oh, once.
Shout out to Oliver.
Shout out to Oliver Nye. One bass, one time, South
That's
Jersey.
Right.
I got an off-topic question.
Yeah.
So while we got old school and new school in the building,
woo!
Who is your voice of bass, B-A-S-S? When you think of the guy that when you hear a tournament, who do you hear?
In bass?
In B-A-S-S.
Well, I'm an old school guy, so all my guys are old school guys, you know. When I think of bass, I think of Ray Scott. I think of the video that I watched when I was like a kid, like younger than Bailey, like 15, 16, 17. And it was, Brian knows, it was... It was like that. Remember that theme, build up, and it was always like the Bassmaster commercial, where the last clip was Larry Nixon at Megabucks, and it was like an 8-pounder that jumped.
But it was that pistol grip, right?
Yeah. And then it was like after the it was Bob Cobb, and he was always so matter of fact. He was like, "We're at Gunnersville Lake," and you know what I mean? It was like. Dude, that's to me, that's bass. Like, that's what I remember.
Cause
but it's because when I was a kid, it was like, dude, when you're a kid, everything that happens is a memory, you know?
Yeah. I think Mercer's done a great job with it.
Oh, Mercer's done great. Yeah. Mercer's done a great job of parlaying it
to
the now, you know? Yeah.
Because what I hear when I think of, you know, the BASS is Tommy Sanders every day of the week.
Oh, because, Sanders is great. Yeah.
Because that's what I've heard for as long as I've been growing up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just that difference of what you hear versus what Pete hears versus what we hear.
Yeah.
You know, being 20-some.
Yeah.
I loved going back and watching this stuff that I watched today, you know, and it was awesome.
The old school.
And it was. It was, but it was Tommy Sanders was looking very young, and he's just steadily – He's like the baseline, man. He's like got to be there in everything.
He's good.
He's really good.
He's good. Here's the thing about Tommy Sanders is good. He's a great personality. He understands the sport enough to be able to roll into other people who know it better.
Right.
Yes.
And he passes that baton well.
He does.
At the exact right moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say this. The guy at MLF.
Like if he's a hockey player, he'd have as many goals as assists.
He would. Yeah,
he wouldn't be a straight assist guy, right. Or he wouldn't be a ball hog.
You're right. But I got to say this. The guy at MLF, what's his name?
Chris Jones does the weigh-ins.
Not Chris Jones. The guy at Bass Pro Tour. The MC guy. He's really good. If you're watching still, please send it through. But
gosh, I can't believe
he's really good.
He's
really good.
He's a pro.
Here's the thing. So when I was in MLF, you know, I know the whole thing. Like he came in and hired him as an announcer from another sport. Like he had worked for
golf
or motocross or whatever it was. But he's a great voice and he's great at like reading a prompter and he can speak. Like he's great on camera, right?
Chad McKee.
He's really good. Super good. And I love Chad. Shout out to Chad. For being a great, you know, at that job. He's great. But the thing that pissed me off and, like, it sticks with me is there was a tournament the second year I fished with MLF. Remember the year that there were two tournaments in a row back-to-back on Table Rock? Do you remember that?
Yes.
You do remember that, right?
I do.
Yes. There was a Table Rock tournament, and then we were supposed to go somewhere.
It was a cancellation.
It was a cancellation, and we went back to Table Rock.
Yeah.
So, dude, I've never talked about this, but, dude, I was so vocal. I'm like, when they canceled that other one, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I was so livid because all the anglers were like, well, cancel. We'll go like a week later. But TV and media and all these things controlled when the next tournament would happen. And the deciding factor was Chad McKee.
What?
Yes.
How's that?
Because he was not available that week. And because of that, we had to go back to Table Rock. Dude, I will never forgive MLF Bass Pro Tour Chad McKee. I will never forgive them motherfuckers for that.
Oh!
Because it pissed me off. Because a tournament league should not operate under the constraints of a person that doesn't even fish!
He's like,
right.
He's like the Chuck Norris of dodgeball.
I'm just saying, and I love him. I think he does a great job. Dude, he's great. He's great. I watched the show. I love it. He's way better than a lot of people. No, he's good. Right, he's good.
Dude.
Bullshit.
Nah, Shelly Sanders all day, bro.
She's got boobs. Good point. But listen.
Yeah,
he's good.
Bad move on their part. They lost me right there.
Dude, you can't it can't be based on the availability of a guy that's a voice,
the host
on the show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's wrong.
You guys, the angles of the product.
That's wrong. Exactly.
Yeah.
Bailey, that's exactly right. You can't base – and that was like – that was one of the knives that killed me over there. You know what I mean? Like, there was a lot.
I'll be honest. Like, for me, I can tell that he doesn't come from fishing.
He doesn't come from fishing.
It's obvious to me, and it doesn't have the same feel.
No.
And no offense to him. He's very good. He's very professional. But I can tell.
But Tommy
I'd rather
Sanders
have
is,
somebody that's – that makes mistakes and is rough and raw, but comes from the sport.
All right, but
I don't need that fucking guy.
Let me be the
You know what I mean?
Let me be devil's advocate here. P's always devil's advocate. Tommy Sanders does not come from fishing. He's not a hardcore fish
head. He's been here for a long time.
He's been here
dude.
For a long time, but he's not a fish head.
Yeah.
He is not a fish head.
Chad's awesome, man. I'm telling you, he probably is. He helps to he marries
I like
all that
Chad.
Talent. Like he gets JT.
Oh, he's
his
a,
guys
dude.
Working
he's
together.
As
yeah,
good
he puts
as they
peanut
get.
Butter really and good. Sand together, and
he's as good really as they good. Get.
Makes a sandwich out of it.
But when they blame that whole thing on him, it was the end for me. It was the end of it.
Well, they.
It was the end of it.
That's I understand you being upset, but let me go back to something that's positive.
Okay.
Why would we do that?
Why? Watch.
That's a bunch of bullshit, Pete.
I know you want to rant, but. You know,
it's Sunday night. Be drinking.
I want to agree with you because Tommy Sanders was on these old shows. Jerry McInnes was doing his Bash University style commentary.
Yeah.
Zona wasn't there.
Yes. Right.
Oh my gosh, his absence was palpable. Like
palpable.
Like Zona, where like oh my gosh, how awesome
of
an addition. He was the Bassmasters, you know. So and the other one.
So it's like Bass U without BTC.
Let me tell.
There it is.
But we had.
Come on, Pete. Let that one sit.
But the other one was like Ray Scott.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Then Keith.
Keith Allen.
Keith Allen.
Yes.
Keith Allen was great.
Keith Thomas.
And then you see Dave Mercer breathe life, just breathe it. It seemed like it took a little while, but oh my gosh, does he breathe life into it now? He brings character, so much energy, and Mercer to me now is
I think he's awesome.
Is the voice
I think
hear.
Mercer's awesome. I think Zona's awesome.
Yeah. I agree.
I think Zona's awesome. Let me tell you this about Zona, and I'll say this real quick. Dude, is Zona the smartest dude in all of fishing?
Yes.
For staying.
Just for staying and for accepting, like, what he does.
Yes.
Because if you remember, Bailey, think back. Zona at one time was your age, his 20s.
Mark Zona was one time your age. Let that sink in.
No, but he was as good as you were. Dude, I fish with Zona.
Tournament angler.
Dude,
yeah.
Zona is a badass.
He has top 10.
Oh, way better.
Dude, he's like you. He's dialed. Dude, Zona's fucking dialed. Like, he's good. He could compete, right? But at some point, Zona said he's like buddies with real tight with Kevin. He's real, he's good friends with everyone in the fishing industry at this point. But he's like, nah, dude, I'm just gonna do my thing, do my show, got my family, everything's good. You know what I mean? Like,
that was on an Ike Live show, wasn't it? When he dialed into all that?
Pretty much. Like, he's probably the smartest dude in the whole industry of fishing. Yeah. I really believe
that. I talked to him and others about it. Like, don't you miss it? Like I loved fishing the Chesapeake, the Northern Opens.
Yeah.
I don't know how you not do it.
Compete at some level. You're
like,
saying.
Just how it's so much fun.
Yeah.
You know, I come alive, like, when I'm there.
Right.
When the pressure's on and it's exciting, you know?
Moments, the launch, the weigh-in, the last cast.
Yeah. There's times when it sucks, you know, you can't find the fish.
Yeah. This whole year
sucks.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah. You fucking crushed the opening.
Getting chased there by the Aberdeen guys on the last day. Yeah. I remember.
You know, but they were
Aberdeen guys.
Able to walk. Like, they don't want to go back to it.
I don't
want to
talk about that, Brian.
In it. did you go in there during the derp?
No, I didn't go in there. I was fucking running back from Middle River.
Do we need to call Jason in to have a final decision on this?
No final decision.
Who's Jason?
The guy we had on earlier?
Yeah.
Keep up.
All right, this is
You do shots, Paul.
Yeah. Welcome to BTL.
Let's start drinking.
This is a great segue. Dude, what a great show. Brian DeCarpenter, here's the thing. Let me bring this up real quick. What a great way to get toward the end of the show. Of course, we got to pick a winner.
Shout out Serious Angler.
Yeah, but let me get to
this. Yeah, we didn't even get to his podcast. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't.
No.
I know. There's so much we missed. Jesus.
Dude, he's had a podcast how many years now? It's in the notes.
Three.
3 years.
300 shows.
He's over 300 shows. We're coming up on 10 years.
Right.
We're at about half that.
But let me. But here is the difference. Let me highlight the
difference. Yeah, you're competing professionally. I get it.
Quality over quantity.
No, there's more difference than that. And, Bailey, that's awesome. That's great.
Thank
because,
you.
Yes.
That's a hustling mug.
That is
hustle. Right there.
Yeah, hustle's great. And Pete knows, like, young people that, you know, and I can say this with my own kids and you know, throwing myself under the bus, less hustle in young people today. So it's great to see it.
Absolutely.
In young
it is
people.
Great to
I love
see
that.
The
yeah, another round of applause.
And that hustle is a positive thing.
It
not
is a
hustle
positive.
Is like you're stuffing weights in a walleye.
Right.
It's a different hustle.
Right, in a different way. But where was I going with this? Oh, the difference in podcasts. The difference in podcasts. And – you know, I honestly, Bill, I don't know yours in particular, but a lot of the podcasts out there right now are very traditional podcasts. Mm-hmm. They come on. It's you know, one-on-one. It's a, you know, a 40-minute podcast. Dude, we are not a 45. Fuck, we've been doing almost 10 years. This is the theatrics, bro. Dude, do you realize it's 12? It's almost 12 o'clock at night.
Get the hell out of here.
Hell fucking yeah. So, listen, we've done less shows, but, dude, this is content. This is substance.
That's right.
Quality
and we
over
haven't
quantity.
Ruined. That's right.
Listen, we've been on this long. We haven't been fired yet by anybody, which is, I don't know why.
And your career's still active, yeah.
My career's still active. We push the line every show, but.
No cancellations.
Dude, people will watch, and I love this about Ike Live. People will watch. We've got people right now listening to this. They're like, yeah, that's me. They've been listening. From the very beginning, for 3-4 freaking hours. That's powerful. And thank you, guys. If you're watching and you're that person, thank you, dude. Because it's been awesome. I love the show because of that. We're different. We got a different show here. We're characters. It's a different show. And that's the difference, Bri. That's why we don't have 852 podcasts.
That's right. You know? And we're coming up on 10 years this February.
Oh, Pete! Yeah.
10 years?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I do something years. Special for that one, man. Dude,
holy crap.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I like where we're at now. We've advanced. We've changed.
I still have nightmares about the Ed Bassmaster episode.
Oh, yeah. That was an early one. Yeah, I'm comfortable.
I was at his house strange, last night, and I brought that up, how he makes – how I was like, Ed, you know how bad you make – how uncomfortable we make Pete feel?
Jason just found that episode number one.
Wow.
And it'll be uploaded when I upload this one.
Yeah.
I had to listen to the whole thing, though, make sure, you know, it could pass through the system.
Was that episode one?
It was episode one.
Wow. And the episode non-episode, Trent Cole episode.
Trent Cole was an episode that would never happen because
it's only we only know that episode
because it never recorded.
It never recorded or went out on the airwaves.
So was that a that was like two?
No, that was like three or four. Randy Howell was episode two.
Episode two.
So we did the very first show the weekend you were leaving for the Classic.
Yeah.
That day, your boat and truck were arriving wrapped for the first time.
Yeah.
You had a photo shoot going on. And Mark Jeffries was here finishing the touches on the studio. It's like all that was going on, and you were leaving the next day for the Classic. That was show one.
Typical.
Yeah. And when you came back, we had Randy on who won on a Livingston crankbait.
Livingston DT.
DT6.
DT6 crankbait and demon.
That's right.
On the rip route.
And Randy was our first guest.
Randy was first guest. So. And we learned early on, Bally, I don't know if you've learned this or not, the controlling factor of a guest. Like, you know, it was like early on in our podcast, it was great because we didn't know what we were doing. I didn't even know what a podcast was. I didn't even listen to podcasts. I didn't know the hell what I was doing. But we have Randy on, and Randy just talked for like an hour and a half. And we were just kind of like, we just sat back, almost like,
what's going on?
Tranquilized. Like,
are you going to interrupt him? Should we interrupt him?
I know. Yeah.
What are we supposed to do? Kind of like me today.
Yeah, kind of like Paul. Like me. Like, I didn't know any better. Yeah. Paul, you'll get better.
The only time Paul spoke up and interrupted anybody was in between parts one and two of my question. But I clearly said,
I know I can get away with interrupting you. I don't want to interrupt Mike.
Motherfucker.
Paul prays on the weak.
Paul, he controls your microphone, bro.
Son of a bitch. That's hurtful, Mike.
No, I'm just messing around.
And that's why I didn't go pro.
No, I know. But Paul will learn the art of interrupting more as he gets more.
Interrupt somebody else.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're
Paul, I mean, this is only your
seventh, eighth show on out, Paul.
Something like that. Third one in studio.
Third one in studio. Yeah. Seventh, eighth show. All right, you'll learn, Paul. Yeah. It's okay.
Bailey,
you'll learn to, you know, interrupt other people, or you'll be...
Right.
Yeah, I know.
Will you stop interrupting me like while I'm trying to interrupt you?
Yeah, and you just interrupt Jake. Jake, what do you got?
One of the better serious anglers.
Oh, he just turned it off. That's bullshit.
Don't tell me how to run the show.
Whatever.
Oh, wow, he's striking back.
Whatever.
One of Bailey's better shows was the non-traditional three guys on mics arguing about swimbait heads. And it's something that you think like, I'm not going to listen to that. It was in-depth. Yeah. It kept you entertained. The guy saying, you're wrong, I throw this. And other guys said, no, you're wrong, I throw this.
Now, I'm glad you said that because now I'm going to go back and listen to that specific episode.
You know, arguing over swimbait heads.
Do you know what number that was?
I can't remember.
Okay,
I'll send it to you.
You sent it to me. But it's out there. It's in the multiverse.
Yes.
It's in the mega structure of the moon.
It's in the space.
Somewhere. Okay. Yeah.
Moral of the story is throw the mega bass one.
The fake moon.
Yeah, that's right.
With the spin head.
Yeah. Okay.
But it goes in depth into why you throw certain sizes with a certain
size
hook.
I like that argument. Like that's Pete. That's a BU argument. Because I'm like 90 degree, 60 degree in line. Like I like that whole argument. I like that. I want to listen to that.
I was on Bailey's podcast.
That's a BU argument. I like it.
Yep.
Was Brian like this the whole time?
He's one of the OGs.
Yeah.
Did he
was like, why'd you guys call me?
Did he do this?
No, we just did some shit for
did
an
he,
hour.
Did he speak?
Did he speak? Did. Was he sweaty? Was he nervous?
No, no.
What? That's so weird.
He was all in on it.
Why is he sweaty and nervous on this show then?
I ain't sweaty and nervous.
Yes, you are.
He's drinking.
too much.
The best part of our first show that's going to come out, Mark says, yeah, Brian's figuring out how to push the buttons, and I want to save that clip and post it because it's still here 150 shows later.
That's so great. That's so great.
Fixed.
No. But the point is, Brian, we don't have the most shows. We are definitely not the best show. And I know I've said that. I've said we're the best Fisher podcast ever. We're not the best.
Nah.
But, dude, we have something. No, but listen.
Hail to the nah.
No.
Thanks for the support.
No, but seriously, we do have something here that's special.
That's
we do
right.
have substance here. Because, listen, dude, I do a lot of, you know, I'm out a lot, out and about. And people, you know, in the order of what people say, they never say, great job winning the Classic in 03. Great job winning the Angler of the Year in 06. Great job of winning on the Delaware in 2014. They're like the highlights of my career. Nobody gives a shit Nobody even fucking remembers that, Paul.
I gave a crap about that 7-pounder you call last year.
Right. But they do say, we love the show. I love the show. And I say, what show? Because I want to know.
BU.
And it's always Ike Live or BU or City Limits Fishing, which was 100 years old. So it is good. It's a good feeling. It is nice to hear that. Even though we're only 100 and whatever shows in, 10 years later.
Yeah, that's all good, dude.
We got substance, bro. People relate to us. People like us. We're dumb. We drink beer. We curse. It's good, man. People like that shit.
Yep.
Regular
dudes. Real.
Regular dudes that don't stub weights and fish.
That's right. Yep.
Got to catch them to stuff them.
Yeah. I mean.
Damn.
You know. Yeah. Your dad, Jake, said in the last, so we had the last Ike Foundation youth event. Not youth like little kids youth, but youth high school, junior tournament event. And your dad was out there, and we're both sucking ass on Union. And he's like, how you doing? I'm like, I just gave him the thumbs down because I felt bad for my guys. They were two high school kids, and they weren't really catching them. Like, I just went like this, and he goes, if you're not scoping – wait, what did he say?
Yeah,
if you're not scoping, you're hoping. And I was like, damn, you're kind of right. You know, and I was like – I felt bad. And then I was like thinking, and I'm like, man, I won an AOY at a classic not scoping. I was like, I won those hoping.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, you can still catch some hoping.
That's all I do from the bank.
Yeah. And you hope today, right?
That's right.
You didn't scope any, did you?
Hoped them all with a frog.
Your kayak is rigged, though, right? You got two grass on
it? No, he's rigged, but he didn't scope.
Not today, but.
He hoped.
Oh, it was today. I wasn't sure what to expect, so I packed that thing to the brim just to throw one rod all day.
What do you got on that? Like two grass?
I got two Humbert Helix units, Mega Live, a bunch of crap that I didn't need today.
Yeah. That's dope.
And $3,700.
Good to have it, just in case.
Keith Poche, he's not scoping.
Doesn't
not scoping.
He doesn't even have transducers on his
stuff. Should I say this or no?
I have no idea. Probably not, if you gotta ask me.
No, you should.
Let me just say it real quick.
You should say it.
So, and I say this, let me preface this because people will rewind this and butcher me. This is kidding. This is like funny, you know, we try to be tongue-in-cheek shit. Yeah. So my concept was, let's do a show where we interview a pulley.
Oh.
A pulley system. You know a pulley?
Yeah. Like,
and we put the pulley in that chair you're in right there and put the headphones on the pulley, and we interview the pulley about Keith Poche's win. It was just a joke. It was just all a joke, you know?
On whether it was used appropriately, you mean?
I mean, yeah. We could ask the pulley a lot of questions about that win on the Red River. Mm. It was kind of a joke. But
Dave
it was
wasn't
funny.
Here. He's in Florida.
Right.
Running a marathon.
Right.
As Goofy.
Right.
So we couldn't do it.
Do you think how pissed would you have been if rocks were pushed
in? Oh, that's horrific.
On your spot.
Oh, that's not good. That's crap. That's not right. If that happened, that's not right. I don't know the whole story. I don't even want to get into it. It's a whole other show. We can go for another hour. But that's not right. But that's then bullshit. To call someone that's not in the tournament to have the rocks removed is also not right.
That happened?
I don't know. Bailey?
Well. So this isn't fact. This is just what I've heard from other shows he's been on. I've talked to Keith, but I haven't specifically talked about this because I – just don't want to get in the middle
of it.
Right. But I believe I heard, I think it was BTL, that fans had jumped in, that were following him, jumped in and moved the rocks.
Okay. Right. So if he wasn't involved at all, it's all good. It's all good. And that's fine. Like if fans were like, this is bullshit, you know, it wasn't induced by him, it's cool. But if he made a call or a text and said, get rid of those rocks, I have a problem with that.
So if, like on the Delaware – fans were involved to keep people from fishing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we were out there making sure guys weren't. Like, because the Delaware is.
Yeah.
The Delaware, let's be honest. There's no reason to fish the Delaware River.
Right.
Pretty much ever.
Ever. It's the worst.
Pretty much ever.
Yeah.
Right? But then to show up on the Delaware River during the only Bassmaster tournament that's ever going to show up there and you're going to be fishing some juice?
Right.
Fuck you, dude.
Right. That's wrong.
Like, but, seriously.
Right. So, and like, here's and a great
that
analogy.
Dude's got a tiny little, right. teeny little one.
Yeah. And you guys had out a lot of those guys, but I didn't induce it. Fine. Totally
no, you
fine.
Weren't even around. That Cruz, John Cruz was in that area and some other guys.
Right.
Byron with his shirt off.
Right. Byron with his shirt off. Yep.
Yeah. But those guys, they had no business being out there.
They had no business being out there.
They were there for one reason, to try to measure penises. Right,
but the people that the viewers, spectators, influenced the outcome of that tournament by chasing them guys off.
They did.
Damn right.
But and not, we also
wasn't induced by the competitor.
But we also influenced the outcome if we don't chase them off.
That's no. true.
Yes.
Yes, that is true.
Well, that's true.
Yes.
But you took action.
Fucking right. Dude.
On behalf of right and wrong.
Well, flat.
Well, yeah. let's
not
take,
arguable.
Let's take this quick second, and we can change it back to. I want to do a show. I would like to do a show on exactly this topic. I want to do a whole fucking show on this topic, because I got butchered for it at Kentucky Lake this year
saying
this shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bullshit. It's fucking bullshit.
Talk to me.
Dude, there were dudes on Kentucky Lake this year. I sucked. I had a horrible tournament. It was terrible for me.
All right.
There were dudes out there fishing 3-4 to a boat on the ledges, cranking like it was, they were in,
like it
they
was
were,
1999.
They were fishing for the classic.
That's right.
It's bullshit to me.
Three to four on a boat. What do you mean by that?
3-4 dudes on a boat, on a fully rigged Phoenix power poles.
Are you saying they were practicing for somebody?
No, I'm saying they were out there to try to catch more than the elite guys. In their soul, that's what they wanted. They wanted to prove they could catch more than the elite guys.
That was the big controversial.
I'm saying
video.
Was never ever my intention to say that you can't be on a public fishery.
Yeah.
Pete, I fucking know that. Are you kidding me? I come from Jersey. There's more douchebags in this state than anywhere in the world. I would never say that. Bailey, I would never say that.
PvP.
I'm not saying.
All
I,
in.
Dude, I. Well, you know, I'm a bank fisherman too. You know that.
Yeah, you fish everywhere, yeah.
Dude, I would never say you cannot fish on a public fishery. My point was, why would you go on Kentucky? Why would you go on? What lake were we on? Fucking Pickwick. Why would you go on Pickwick with 2, 3, 4 dudes on your boat and crank away like you were in a tournament during the event if you were a fan of bass and you were a fan of bass fishing? Why? That's all I'm saying.
I'm with you, Mike.
Right.
You
heard me say
it
before.
I know it goes back and forth.
I don't give a fuck.
I know.
You heard me say it before. Yeah. Dude, if you're with your 90-year-old grandfather that's got a year left to fish.
Yeah.
Go
Different
for
story.
It.
You're with your kids.
Dude, if you're with your kids, go for it. Yeah. If you're out
you
there.
You plan this week and it's
go
your
for
week.
It. Go for it. If you're with your wife, if you're idling around graphing because you have a BFL the next week, go for it. Love you, man. Go for it. You're working your ass off. If you're out there and you have no other reason to be out there except to beat the elites, fuck you, you motherfucker.
There it is.
All they want to do is boost their ego.
Cut that clip. You know?
Cut that clip. Cut it. Mark this time. Because I want to do a whole show on this. Because, and I want to.
Thanks for tuning in. Like,
no, bullshit.
And the Facebook winner.
I would love to argue this point soberly with no alcohol people.
That'd be a good start.
Because I'm so set on
my
theory.
Paul, who was the dude on Facebook?
I'm
from
so
Jersey?
Set on my theory.
Bill Voorhees. He made a whole post complaining about it.
Bill Voorhees? F you, Bill Voorhees.
Yeah, I blocked
that. That's from me to you.
I blocked that.
Jason Voorhees was,
Jason
of course,
Voorhees,
the. The
I don't know who that dude is, but
the dude with the mask.
What a twat, man! Yeah. What a
Jason Voorhees. Go back
twat.
To Halloween, you prick.
Like bad moves. I'm sorry.
No, I've heard it so many times over the years. Guys that are out there and they love the sport and they have a knowledge of a body of water and they're they're interested in measuring themselves penises against what the elites are.
How about the week? How about
in?
How about like if the elite ends on a Sunday, go out on a Monday. If the elite starts on a Thursday, go out on a Wednesday. Go measure yourself. How about that?
And they want to brag and boast. Oh, I caught 20 pounds today. And
it's crap, dude.
The heavy bag from and
you're not a fan of the sport if you do it. You know what I mean? That's all I'm saying.
Honestly, that's the point. Right? They have every right to fish. They have every right to do whatever they want to do.
But
if you're a fan of the sport,
here's
then
what pisses
you
me off
it.
Even more about it, though. Let's get above the person. Let's get above Voorhees now. Let's go to the pros. Let's go to the pros who aren't saying shit about it. And I get it. I totally get
it. It's everybody.
It's everybody.
Nobody
totally
has a word to
You've
say.
You've got a body of 100 anglers, and 90 of them are...
99.
I get it, Bailey. Listen, they're early in their career. Mm-hmm. They've got sponsorships on the line. I get it. I totally get it. But, dude, to not speak up about it or to do the opposite and say, I saw a post from a few of the pros were like, oh, this was unfortunate, but the water's public, and they post a video or whatever. That's fucking crap. Dude, be honest. Be honest. Because when the other pros, the body of pros aren't stepping up to say what's real, it hurts. It hurts the whole thing. You know what I mean? Like, you got to be honest about it.
I get that. But not everybody can handle the negative exposure like you can. Right? You're a multifaceted business guy that's got this thing going. You know what I mean? A lot of guys are, man, they're just making it. They're not capable of being that controversial or want to draw that kind of criticism onto themselves or their sponsors. You know, so it's very difficult for a lot of guys to speak up in that way.
Right.
I think there's something to be said too, though. Like, there's an education aspect to it where there's, you know, with COVID, speaking on COVID, so many new anglers, so many new people in the water, they don't understand the ethics. There might be some people out there that don't understand.
No, there is. And
there's
that's
a tournament
percentage.
Out here.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be out here right now because there's guys out here making
I think there
a
is
living.
A percentage there.
Yeah.
Well, there was a situation with me last year. I was, you know, my first show, I was telling you guys about, I caught my PB 6.7 pounder. And there was there was a local tournament going on there. And the only reason I decided to fish that particular lake that day was because a buddy of mine, Adam, he makes his own, carves his own baits and stuff. He told me to meet him there because he had a bait to give me. So I'm like, all right, I meet him there. We talk. He hands me my bait. And I'm just fishing around the bank, you know, just staying out of their way.
Yeah.
And I catch his six something. And then some guy commented on that post that Voorhees guy made saying, dude, didn't you brag about catching a giant during a tournament last year or whatever? And I'm like, dude, I was on the bank in the corner of the lake out of everybody's way.
Yeah.
I can't help that there was a six-pounder in that corner where I was throwing my jig.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting in their way.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a difference between –
I was invited to fish there, you know.
Right. And you didn't know the tournament was going on.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I knew the tournament was there, but I wasn't going on the water.
Paul, we get three Hail Marys and what? Anybody here Catholic? What else they say?
Pete, you Catholic?
You got a father.
Our Fathers, Hail Marys.
Yeah, Paul, you were wrong.
Glory be.
Virgin Mary.
You were wrong, Paul.
My bad. Well,
Bill Voorhees was right.
He told me to meet me there.
It's all right. The point is,
I stayed out of their way.
Guys that are trying to,
except for that 6 pound.
Yeah.
My bad.
But here's let me.
But no. But the difference, Paul, is $5,000 entry fees, you know, life's dreams. Like, I know these guys. Like, some guys have made it, they're established, and some guys are freaking walking that thin line of, you know, their dreams, the dreams that they've chased, and then it collapsing and going back to a job at, you know,
and on top
UPS
of that, one of the competitors told me to come there and meet him there. You know what I mean?
No, but regardless of that, I'm saying, like, at the level where Mike's at, these guys are
much more money on the line.
A lot
dude,
more
I'm
money
pissed
on the
off,
line.
Paul. I was going to catch that 6 pounder.
Yeah,
I was in that tournament.
I didn't even say what lake
it was.
I was
just about to go to that corner.
Yeah,
I was just about to do it.
Give me that.
Yes, he was. He was throwing a black Senko.
I swear, oh, man.
Bailey, how many hours of sleep you had?
Zero.
Since when?
Look at that. Look at the eyes. Yeah. Look at Bailey's eyes. You can see it.
About 4 days ago.
So you left your house at what time on Saturday? Friday.
Three.
Huh?
3.
3 a.m. and you got the...
On Friday. 3 a.m. on Friday.
3 a.m. on Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, 3 Saturday morning. Okay.
It's all good. It's just one.
What time you get to knock?
9.
Okay.
Wow. But there's euphoria, and that euphoria and energy will bump you up.
I'm
keep
young.
You
I gotta use it. While
Dude,
I got
you got the dub.
That's right. It's worth
dub.
It. Worth
yeah.
It.
So.
So awesome.
That brings it back to when we won the when I won the classic. I say,
no, no,
I say wings.
Way,
yeah. Like a team event. When I won the classic, I fished that last day. Think about the day and the pressure and then the interviews. Yeah. And then we went partying all night. And yeah. And like literally, I remember this. I think I've told the story before, but we partied all freaking night. And we got back to the hotel, which was the host hotel where Bass was at. And Gerald Crawford was still the photographer for Bass. That's how long ago it was.
Yeah.
And Gerald, like, I remember him, you know, saying, oh, we have to meet you in the morning. And we were walking back in at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning from partying. And they were in the lobby of the hotel, the photographers, waiting for us to walk down the steps. And we walked in the front.
That's awesome.
So me and McGraw handed you off, and we went upstairs.
You went
to
upstairs.
Sleep.
I got handed off. So I know I've said this before. And this will probably cause shitstorm too. But on my cover, my Bassmaster cover,
oh boy.
When I won the classic, I was drunk out of my mind. Yeah,
and no sleep.
No sleep. Still hammered.
That's
hammered.
It was how it should be.
The vampire himself, Travis Manson, we were down at, I believe it was Knoxville Classic. He was walking in the door. We're going in the morning down to launch. He's walking in to go grab his bag at 5 o'clock in the morning and walk back down to launch. He got about 3 minutes. He said he walked in, laid in bed, and his partner woke him up and said, yo, let's go. We got to go take pictures. And walk right back down and back to weighing, or back to the launch he went.
Wow.
You know, about 3 minutes of sleep,
yeah.
He said.
Yeah, Travis don't sleep.
All right. Brian, it was a great show. I just want to recap
it was.
This. This was a freaking great show. I don't actually don't want it to end, but it has to end.
It has to end.
Really thank you for watching and listening tonight. We've got one more thing to do, Jake.
Yep.
We're gonna give away this amazing. What'd you call it? How many pounds?
12.
12. 18 pounds.
Full of lead.
Full lead.
Yeah. We're sending lead stickers.
Do you need these?
Nah, throw them in.
You sure? All right.
Half.
That's a lot.
That's still one in it.
Close shipping.
Yeah. There you go. That's 33 pounds.
19 pounds of gifts. And this was a like and share contest. Thank you for watching over on Facebook. Jake, let's do it. Let's give away this thing. What do we got?
The winner is Bruno Duffield.
Bruno Duffield?
We don't talk
Bruno
about
Duffield.
Bruno. No, no.
There it is.
Duffield. Bruno Duffield, you are the winner.
Is he Italian and Swedish?
He's a Millvillian.
Is he a Millvillian?
It's awesome.
To be. A Millvillian.
I like the name. Bruno, thank you for liking and sharing that feed, and you're the winner of that contest. Pete, it was a great show.
Great show, man.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it, Paul. Thank
great
you.
Great show.
Billy?
I love these old stories.
It's great having
I
you
love,
on.
I love hearing them, man.
It was great. Jake, thank you for handling all those crazy messages. Brian DeCarpenter producing a great show. And Brian, you, I want to say again, thank you for tracking that guy down, both of you guys. That was crazy.
I'm on it. I just need the okay for
that
you.
That was super cool.
Yesterday,
dude.
You're like, all right, Bailey and the winner, nice, easy show,
yeah.
Nothing too crazy. You know,
short
I,
show.
I like that.
Yeah.
First thing this morning, I get, yo, get the tournament
get
director
the
for the walleye guy. Yo, lose blow it away.
Luminati's winning. Get Lou on.
Lou's winning. Get Lou on. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It all changed, yeah. But it was a great show. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in
Bailey,
tonight.
Thank you for winning.
Yes.
So we only had to have one guest.
Yes, thank you for shortening the show. We would have been on until 2 a.m.
The way Mike's talking right now.
Yes, it was a great show. But
indeed.
Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Oh,
we'll see you next week. Yeah.
You got the video?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go out to a video. What do you got, Bri?
We got a video.
All right. Thank you for
angry
watching tonight.
Men at the walleye weigh-in.
All right. Thank you for watching. We're going to go out to a great video that's probably the best thing that's ever happened in the entire world of fishing. good night.
Sorry,
and
wrong one.
We will see you on the next one.
This one.
Okay. Go ahead. good night, everybody. Love you.
Just
press the button. You just gotta press
play.
You can
do it.
That's all you gotta do.
Use the mouse.
It's just a damn YouTube video. Just press play. Go ahead.
You're welcome.
Alright, she chased me off of that dock. She chased me off that dock, but what everybody doesn't know is I caught one off that dock right before she came down.
Really?
I caught like a 2-pounder off that dock. I wasn't coming back anyway. I had enough of that dock. I wasn't going to come back. So when she came down to chase me off that dock, I was like,
I'm
hey, chase me off this dock? I'm fucking done anyway, bitch. That's cool. So I just trolled on down to see this next dock down here. I'm like, I like those big gaps. I like those long gaps between docks because it's like, it's not like dock, 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 dock. It's like a dock, giant space, another dock. Good dock,
yeah.
Right? Isolated, you know? So I'm like, oh, shit, I'll go down to this dock. That's cool. This is a good dock, too, because it fits the mold, you know, fits the pattern. I caught one off that dock. There might be one off this dock, right? It's a proximity. So I'm like, oh, shit, nobody going to own this dock down here. Go down this dock.
This
cool
is my
though.
Favorite part, your transition from I was nice,
nice
to you
guy.
Before,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
But now I'm going to stay.
Oh, yeah.
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 No more Mr. Nice Guy.
It's plain gone
she,
past.
She egged him on.
Oh, yeah.
She did.
She asked for it.
I
she had it coming.
And I'm not hitting the dock. You don't hear any pings.
Yeah.
Any like, pangs.
Yeah. I'll learn this at Dick's, working at Dick's. I know how to cast. Cast down the aisles a million times. I know how to do it.
Middle?
That's a crop duster, by the way, folks.
Middle.
Middle.
Hear that
this
plane?
Is middle.
It's a radial engine.
Yeah.
Yep. Hear that? It's radial.
Oh, I thought that was yours.
It's all ours.
All ours.
You don't own the water, bro.
Like the whole river?
What is this, Russia?
Fish here. Okay. I've been fishing 30 years. I'm a homeowner on the water myself. I would never damage anybody's property. I would never get my line. I'm really good. Trust me. No, I
think you got hung up in the eelgrass. I think that's what she was talking about.
You can call the cops. I'm not leaving now. I was going to leave nice before, but I'm not leaving now. You can call
the cops.
That's
my favorite part.
Call the cops. Call DNR. Call the government. Call Biden. Probably love him. Okay. Sounds like it.
That's beautiful.
Sounds like it.
Listen, the bass live under the docks.
I know where the bass
is. Okay, bye, Karen.
What'd she say? How about you go what?
Go back in the woods.
Go back in the woods.
Go back in the woods. I don't even hunt, goddammit. I do like the woods. I like to go out in my woods and, like, masturbate alone every once in a while, but I don't like, I mean, I don't hunt. I don't even hunt.
Stop it.
I'm just saying.
What is that thumbnail, bro? What
fuck is that, Jake?
Who is that?
Why don't you change camera? There it is.
Okay.
Right.
Did the show end or are we still on?
No, show's over.
Oh, okay. All right. Let's go out to Pete. Good night, everybody.
All right, let's roll.
Ooh. Oh,
ooh. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. I'm all right.
I'm cool. I'm
you
cool.
Sure?
Yeah, I'm cool.
Oh, my God, dude.
Was that live?
Yeah.
It's good that he smiled. Very good that he smiled.
That was graceful. Staying calm.
Dude, holy
getting to the
cow,
ladder.
I know.
Yeah, Basscat has a built-in ladder. Very nice feature.
Lord have mercy. Come on, man. Oh, my goodness.
Welcome to the Chesapeake.
Whew. Yes.